2 years ago, and it was one of the most productive things that I've ever been involved in. And so much we don't know about how God has blessed us in this nation. If you'd like to know more about where we really came from, the part they probably didn't teach you in school, then I hope you'll be here on Wednesday nights. Come join us. And remember, dinner at 6 o'clock. So come have dinner with your church family and then stick around for the study. I do hope you'll be here and be part of it. Will you pray with me? Father, we've been reminded this morning of who you are. And, your awesomeness, your majesty, that you are infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In your very being, your wisdom, your power, your holiness, your justice, goodness, and truth. We're reminded of who you are and who we are before you, and yet you consent to call us to be yours. Thank you, Father, that you have called us to be your people. We know we're not good people, but we're yours. And we thank you that you come and you meet with us here in this place this morning. And my prayer is that you would make our hearts glad as we celebrate our family meal, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, if we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm fairly sure that most of you in here are aware that on August 25th, we lost a great American hero. Neil Armstrong died at the age of 82. What everybody probably knows, if you either were alive at the time, and if you were, you can never, ever forget watching men land on the moon. And if you weren't alive at the time, you've heard about it, you've seen it on the internet, you've seen it on YouTube, etc. Let me just remind you or remind us of a few things that most of us know about Apollo 11. First of all, the crew. Most people know, of course, Neil Armstrong was the commander. Michael Collins was the command module pilot called the Columbia. And then Edwin Buzz Aldrin was the lunar module pilot. They launched it right up here at Cape Kennedy on Wednesday, July the 16th of 1969. And what you may not know, and I had to look this up, was that they orbited Earth 1.5 times, used Earth's gravity to sling them out into space, and then they went off to the moon, and then they orbited the moon 30 times so they could survey the terrain they were going to be putting that ship down on. And then on that 30th orbit, at that point, the lunar module, again named the Eagle, it's separated from the command module Columbia. The command module pilot Michael Collins continued in lunar orbit. At that time, he was the most isolated man in the history of the world, on the backside of the moon, all by himself, out of radio contact. And then the Eagle then began its descent to the surface of the moon with Neil Armstrong and Edwin Buzz Aldrin. By the way, he got his nickname Buzz because when he was little, his older sister couldn't say brother, so she called him Buzzer. And that's how Colonel Edwin Aldrin has become known to us as Buzz Aldrin. By the way, yes, he is the inspiration for Buzz Lightyear, another feather in his cap. Well, they put the craft down, and then they had a little problem when they saw where they were supposed to land, and it had a lot of large boulders in the way. And so Neil Armstrong had to manually override and fly the Eagle by sight manually and put it down a few miles away from the original landing strip. And when they landed, they had less than 1 minute of fuel left in order to put that ship down on the planet. Now, some of that you remember, but I want you to watch again and see what, just feel it with me all over again. What do you know? Here we go. I don't want to scrub this mission. Again, this was July 16th, 99.
30 feet down, 2.5.
This is now July 20th.
30 feet, 2.5 down. Fake shadow. Four forward, drift into the right level. 2.5. Contact light. Okay, engine stop. Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility, we copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
If you couldn't understand what he was saying, that was Charles Duke, who was Capcom. That means he was communicating with the capsule. And he said, Roger, Tranquility, we copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot. And so they set the craft down on the surface of the moon. And then the mission plan called for them to take about 5 hours to sleep. Right. You have landed on the moon and you're supposed to take a nap? They've been up since very early on Sunday morning, and so they wanted to get some rest before they went on for the mission. But they asked for permission to go ahead and execute the rest of their duties. They didn't think they were going to get much sleep. But they had a few hours of work they had to do, not the least of which was they had to go ahead and get ready at that point for liftoff again. They had to get everything ready for once they re-entered the capsule, the Eagle, to go ahead and lift off again. So they had a number of things they had to do. They had to get into their portable life-sustaining systems, what we would have called their spacesuits. And then at 10:56 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10:56 p.m. our time, then this is what happened.
Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now. At the foot of the ladder, the lamb footbeds are only depressed in the surface about 1 or 2 inches. I'm going to step off the lamb now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Now, a lot of that you either know because you saw it, you can never forget it, you've read about it, you've seen it, and so forth. A lot of that you know. By the way, Neil Armstrong maintained for many years, what he said was, that's one small step for a man, but that got lost in the audio transmission. It's a big word, I never said it before. The audio transmission, that it was lost. One small step for a man. One giant leap for mankind. 20 minutes after he set foot on the moon, Buzz Aldrin left the capsule, left the Eagle, got out on the moon with him, and he described what he saw around him as magnificent desolation. Magnificent desolation. So what I'd like to do this morning, some of that you probably knew, maybe a lot of that you knew. What I'd like to do now, just for a few minutes, I'd like to tell you about something that probably a lot of us didn't know. I've had this story in my files for probably 7 or 8 years. And it just seemed to me like this might be a good time to relay this morning. I'd like for you to let me read you just a little bit from Buzz Aldrin's book, Magnificent Desolation, The Long Journey Home from the Moon. Listen to what he had to say. For several weeks prior to the scheduled liftoff of Apollo 11 back in July 1969, the pastor of our church, Dean Woodruff, and I had been struggling to find the right symbol for the first lunar landing. We wanted to express our feeling that what man was doing this mission transcended electronics and computers and rockets. Dean often speaks at our church, Webster Presbyterian, just outside of Houston, about the many meanings of the communion service. One of the principal symbols, Dean says, is that God reveals himself in the common elements of everyday life. Traditionally, these elements are bread and wine. Common foods in Bible days, and typical products of man's labor. One day while I was at Cape Kennedy working with the sophisticated tools of the space effort, it occurred to me that these tools were the typical elements of life today. I wondered if it might be possible to take communion on the moon, symbolizing the thought that God was revealing himself there too as man reached out into the universe. For there are many of us in NASA who do trust that what we are doing is part of God's eternal plan for man. I spoke with Dean about the idea as soon as I returned home, and he was enthusiastic. I could carry the bread in a plastic packet, the way regular in-flight food is wrapped, and the wine also. There will be just enough gravity on the moon for liquid to pour. I'll be able to drink normally from a cup. The next week, Dean showed me a graceful silver cup. I hefted it and was pleased to find that it was light enough to take along. Each astronaut is allowed a few personal items on a flight. The wine chalice would be in my personal preference kit. Dean made special plans for 2 special communion services at Webster Presbyterian Church. One would be held just prior to my leaving Houston for Cape Kennedy. when I would join the other members in a dedication service. The second would take place 2 weeks later, Sunday, July 20th, when Neil Armstrong and I were scheduled to be on the surface of the moon. On that Sunday, the church back home would gather for communion while I joined them as close as possible to the same hour, taking communion inside the lunar module, all of us meaning to represent in this small way not only our local church, but the church, capital C, church as a whole. Right away, a question came up. How much should we talk about our plans? I am naturally rather reticent, but on the other hand, I was becoming increasingly convinced that having religious convictions carried with it the responsibility of witnessing to them. Finally, we decided we would say nothing about the communion service until after the moonshot. I had a question about which scriptural passage to use, which reading was best capture what this enterprise meant to us. I thought long and hard about this and came up at last with John 15, 1 through 5. It seemed to fit perfectly. I wrote the passage on a slip of paper to be carried aboard Eagle along with the communion elements. Dean would read the same passage to the full congregation at the service held back home that same day. So, a small group at our church took communion on the night before I left for Cape Kennedy. At the end of the service, Dean tore off a corner of the second loaf of bread and handed it to me with a tiny chalice. Within a few hours, I was on my way to Cape Kennedy. What happened there, of course, the whole world knows. Saturn V rocket gave us a rough ride at first, but the rest of the trip was smooth. On the day of the moon landing, we awoke at 5:30 a.m. Houston time. Neil and I separated from Mike Collins in the command module. Our powered descent was right on schedule and perfect except for one unforeseeable difficulty. The automatic guidance system would have taken Eagle to an area with huge boulders. Neil had to steer Eagle to a more suitable terrain. With only seconds worth of fuel left, we touched down at 3:30 p.m. Now Neil and I were sitting inside Eagle, while Mike circled in lunar orbit, unseen in the black sky above us. In a little while, after our scheduled meal period, Neil would give the signal to step down the ladder and onto the powdery surface of the moon. Now was the moment for communion. So I unstowed the elements in their flight packets. I put them and the scripture reading on the little table in front of the abort guidance system computer. Then I called back to Houston. Houston, this is Eagle. This is the LM pilot speaking. I would like to request a few moments of silence. I would like to invite each person listening in, wherever and whomever he may be, to contemplate for a moment the events of the past few hours and to give thanks in his own individual way. For me, this meant taking communion. In the radio blackout, I opened the little plastic packages which contained bread and wine. I poured the wine into the chalice our church had given me. In the 1/6 gravity of the moon, the wine curled slowly and gracefully up the side of the cup. It was interesting to think that the very first liquid ever poured on the moon and the very first food eaten there were communion elements. And so, just before I partook of the elements, I read the words which I had chosen to indicate our trust that as man probes into space, we are, in fact, acting in Christ. I sensed especially strongly my unity with our church back home and with the church everywhere. I read John 15, 1 through 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's interesting to think that some of the first words spoken on the moon were the words of Jesus Christ, who made the earth and the moon, and who, in the immortal words of Dante, is himself the love that moves the sun and the other stars. I also read Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I then offered a private prayer for the task at hand and the opportunity I had been given. Let me step away from Buzz Aldrin's narrative now. I suspect probably a few copies of that book might be ordered today or bought at your local bookstore. Can you imagine the impact it must have had on him as he read those words and looked at the earth hovering in that blackness of space above that magnificent desolation of the lunar landscape? And so somebody that's here for the first time, or maybe it's been a while, you say, well, that's really interesting, Kent. We're glad you liked the space program, and I am. I grew up in the space era. My dad was a pilot. I followed the astronauts. One of my prized possessions I have locked away securely, I have Gus Grissom's autograph. You may remember Gus Grissom was one of the three Apollo 1 astronauts who gave his life on the launch pad at Cape Kennedy. Yeah, I grew up following the space program, and I really looked up to and greatly respected the astronauts. I know a lot of you did. But why take time this morning to talk about something that happened 43 years ago, even something as monumental as putting a man on the moon? God of wonders beyond our galaxy, indeed. Why talk about the fact that Buzz Aldrin took communion there on the surface of the moon? He was right. I remind you again of his words. God reveals himself in the common elements of everyday life, elements of bread and wine. In every culture throughout the history of the world, in every culture, they have had some form of bread and some form of wine. The most common, the most basic elements, foodstuffs, all over the world, bread and wine. So as Buzz Aldrin took those elements on the surface of the moon, I want you to think with me, what other action could he possibly have performed that would be as universal as communion? What other act better represents the coming together of God the Creator and man the creature? What better symbol could there possibly be to represent the coming together of man with his fellow man? Putting a man on the moon was one of the greatest achievements in human history, but it was not accomplished without sacrifice. Two men died in the Gemini program. I mentioned to you three died in the Apollo program. And almost everybody here was alive and old enough to remember when we lost 14 astronauts in the space shuttle program long after Apollo. The event that we commemorate and celebrate this morning, the event we call communion or the Lord's Supper, was also costly and accomplished with great sacrifice. The incarnation of the Son of God who came to earth and lived and died on an old rugged cross and rose again that we might be able to as well. And as we contemplate the cross, as we look at the cross, I do not think that it is incidental that in the cross you have a vertical beam representing the reconciliation of a holy God with sinful mankind, reaching out, bringing God and man together in holiness and love, in justice and mercy. And you have a horizontal beam representing the reconciling of man to man, reconciling us from all across the world, every tribe, every nation, young, old, male, female, all of us called to become as one people of God's people, the church, as Buzz Aldrin capitalized, the church with a capital C, reconciling us into his people. This table, this sacrament, is meant to represent this coming together, this unity, this reconciliation between God and man. As Buzz Aldrin and his church illustrated, as he took communion on the surface of the moon, and they were taking communion back in Houston, as we take communion this morning, as others of God's people are taking communion all around the world, this is a place of unification, of unity. Sadly, it has also become a place of division, to our shame. This is meant to represent what lengths God would go to reconcile man to himself. The church scattered throughout literally space and time. Different languages, different customs, different tribes, different ethnicities, but united around this table. Buzz was right. God reveals himself in the common elements of this life, in the bread and the wine. But most especially, most fully, God has revealed himself in the person of his son Jesus, who came and died that we might live together with him forever. Let's pray together. Father, I am so grateful for the manifold ways, the endless ways that you have represented your truth to us in the common elements of bread and wine, unleavened bread and grape juice in our case, and in these magnificent accomplishments of rockets and calculations and fuel and man's will and ingenuity. That, Lord, the heartbeat that beats through it all is that you are a God beyond time and space, a God of wonders beyond our galaxy. And Lord, that you are holy, that you've called us to yourself in this most holy of acts, celebration of communion, the Lord's Supper. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you again for being with us today. Wish you a great rest of your Sabbath day. Come back at 6 for evening worship and join us Wednesday evening at 6 for dinner and 7 for the class. We ask you to receive now the Lord's benediction. Go now in the love of God the Father, the grace and mercy of God the Son, the fellowship and companionship of God the Holy Spirit, and live the life. Amen.